Welcome to another episode of Toad's Tunes. Today I'm sitting down with Sienna Paglia. Well, let's go back. Vegas's own Sienna Paglia. Well, let's go back one more time. She now lives in Tennessee. There was a choice between Texas and Tennessee. You'll find out why she chose that. 2017. Damn, what a year. She actually got to sing the national anthem for the PBR Velocity Tour Finals right here in Vegas. And also was at Route 91. Little moment in there. We talked about the move to Nashville. We talked about life, personal, professional, creativity. Her mom. Yeah, we spent some time with her mom as well. Let's get to know Sienna Paglia. Welcome to another episode of Toad's Tunes. Today, sitting down with, I want you to tell me your last name because it drives me nuts because I never know if I've got it right or wrong.
My name is Sienna Paglia.
Paglia.
Yes. Some folks say Paglia or Paglia. But that's why I just go by Sienna, because I always get the last name butchered by somebody. So
right.
I just cut it off.
I don't even think I would know how to spell it, to be honest with you.
It's a little funky. I've seen some odd spellings, but I just go by Sienna now.
Was it hard to learn as a kid?
My last name?
Yeah. Or did it just come easy because that's just what they said?
It was naturel.
Oh, naturel.
It's Italian.
Vegas born?
Born and raised.
Born and raised. Your mom.
She's a character.
Let's talk to your mom. I found out, like, through lots of different conversations with multiple people, I've kind of known your mom for a long time.
Yeah.
Because she used to dance with my mom back in the days at Sam's Town, Rockabilly's, and Dylan's.
Oh, yeah. That
way
was
back
good old
in the
Vegas.
Days. Yeah, I went to go see your mom a couple weeks ago because she posted some sourdough. And I have a problem with sourdough. That means if you put it in front of me, I'm eating the whole damn loaf. But I went and saw her, and we were shooting the shit about some stuff. And I used to go to Rockabilly's when I was 14 years old.
Oh, my gosh.
And dance with my mom.
So that was only like a week ago. No, I'm just kidding.
Ha, I wish it was a week ago. That would be badass. Your mom is, would you say, one of your biggest fans?
Yes.
Along with one of your biggest headaches?
A little bit. I mean, I love her very much. But, no, she's always been a great supporter. She always wants the best for me.
It's good.
She is a great cook as well. She makes
Baker from hell.
Yes. I mean, I can't have her goods in the house because I'll eat them. So I tell her to take them to the commercial kitchen she cooks at.
Right.
So I don't get into that.
It's probably smart. I mean, I walked over there and she, when I went to go pick up the bread, and she had a wax paper out with all these cookies. She's like, you want one? I'm like, no, because if I eat one, I'm eating 12.
Another one, right.
Yeah. And that's just, but I was kind of happy because I'm not a huge pretzel eater. I'm not a huge fan of pretzels, and that was what she, like, one of the things she had laid out, and so it made it very easy for me not to even.
I'm telling you, this woman can make a 5-course meal out of 3 ingredients.
Yeah.
I really don't know how she does it, but she's so creative, always makes great food, and keeps her bellies happy.
Should we put her on Chopped? You think she would do good on there?
That would actually be freaking hysterical. Yes, please. I don't know whether
I think she we should work on that.
That would be amazing. Do they take people who don't own, like,
yeah,
restaurants?
Absolutely. A lot of the people are just people like Chopped. Yeah, they're just people that cook. Sometimes they do home cook. Sometimes they do everything. But I think that's something we should look into collectively and go be her support team, because I think I would love to see her in that role.
I don't know how it would go down. She'd make some pretty good food, but she'd be in that kitchen.
They would know she was in there.
They would know she was there.
Let's talk music and how you got started in music.
Oh, my goodness. So, well, I always tell people this funny story. I knew I wanted to be a country music singer because one day my mother picked me up from school. I think I must have been in elementary. And I got in the truck, and she turned on the radio. Toby Keith's song, Courtesy of the Red, White, and Blue, was playing, and I always would hear it. And mind you, I was a young kid, so I didn't know what cuss words were. And I sang, so we'll put a boot in your ass. It's the American way. And she looked at me like, oh, don't ever say that. I said, say what? Ass?
Didn't know.
I was like, now I want to sing country music.
Just because of the word ass?
Maybe a little bit. That's maybe not fully, but I just like the way that she was like responded into me and laughed. It was like, don't sing along to the country radio if it has, you know, curse words in it. And I was like, oh, no, I'm going to sing country music now. I thought it was funny, but I grew up riding horses, too, so country music always was in my life, you know.
So the first time you did that, so Toby Keith, then you go into, how did you start writing?
Writing music?
Yeah.
I mean, well, I guess what I'm trying to do is fill this hole from a kid to where you are today. Mm-hmm. Your mother is a baker. Is your dad a musician?
He is not. He is in real estate. His father opened up, if I don't know if you remember back in the day, there was a nightclub and restaurant called The Brewery. And you laugh.
No.
So that was my grandfather's joint.
No way.
Yeah.
That's some old Vegas.
It is. The classics. So he grew up kind of in the restaurant, bar industry, and then he actually wanted to be a doctor, but his dad wouldn't let him go to medical school. So
his dad didn't want to pay for it. So, okay, go ahead.
Right, yeah. Well, there you go. So he said, no, I want you to take over the construction. So he was doing his own construction business and then got into real estate and had a mortgage company as well. Just kind of a little bit of everything. But yeah, I think I get my creative side from my mother's family. My uncle, he actually just passed yesterday.
Sorry for that.
Thank you. He was a phenomenal musician, great singer, and he was a badass guitar player. And one of his favorite songs, actually, to sing was Mustang Sally. Side note, I'm wearing a Mustang Sally sweater right now. And her other siblings were very artistic. Her father, my grandfather, who I never met, he was a magician, and he engraved guns for Elvis, Siegfried, and Roy, Lance
Super
Burton.
Creative.
Yes, I wish he could make me jewelry today, because it'd be obviously one of a kind, but maybe in heaven. And so all the creative stuff comes from my mother's side, but for the music, I grew up listening to the country radio, and then in elementary, you know, you were in the choir, and then you take little piano lessons and guitar lessons, and she always kind of kept me in, you know, dance, and I just kept going with it. I went a little out of the dance and kept the guitar and piano going, but I started doing singing guitar and piano when I was about, like, 8 or so, and I would go around town sing with my vocal coach, like at Ethelens or the Galleria Mall or just little places around town.
Are those videos still floating around?
I bet I could find them somewhere.
You're going to need them someday. I think it's going to be one of those things that
I
pops
don't know
up.
If I got rid of them or tucked them away so no one could ever see them. But
if
I'm
I know
sure
your mom, she's got them.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
But then, you know, as I kind of grew up, I wanted to write songs, and you have little crushes, and then, oh, that boy hurt my feelings. So you write little cutesy, you know, flower songs about him, and then I would listen to lyrics on the radio and then be like, oh, well, I kind of want to write like that, and then I'd take songs that I loved, and then to the melody, I would just write my own lyrics, and that's how I kind of got into it. I know it's the same, you know, instrumental or the same chord progression, which happens a lot these days, as you know.
There's no creativity. Go ahead.
But that's how I got started with it and just kind of kept going. I was with a girl group for a while when I was in, like, high school. We were called Sugar Stack. We were a country girl group. We'd sing around town at First Fridays, some, like, private events on the strip, private parties. Wherever we could, honestly. I think we sang here one year, remember?
I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, I do. Yes.
That was a lot of fun, but we even did like a little rally show we wanted to try. But I think I had started to make my own connections in town and make my own friends, and people were asking just for me to sing the
outside
anthem
of the group.
Correct. And I was getting a little more traction, and I would have loved to have had the girls, you know, sing with me, but the people who were, you know, wanting to contact me would said, well, can you just come out? And I obviously didn't want to hurt anyone's feelings, but I think at the end of the day, I had to follow my heart and venture out of the girl group.
Sure.
Because I felt like that's that was best for me and how I could be myself through, like, what I wear and how I sing and...
Well, you don't have to collaborate with two people, and that's.
It was actually 4 of us.
Oh, 4 people.
Yeah.
Do you still talk to any of them?
I think I keep in contact with 2 of the girls on social media.
Do they still sing?
One of them does, actually. Yes.
That's pretty rad.
She was in Stanford. She was in music. I think she's actually moving to Nashville soon. I live in Nashville, by the way. And
we'll get to that.
Yeah, but I think everyone grows up, matures, and finds their own avenue of what makes them happy and how they can grow in their own, you know, career.
I think that's I always like to say that you always got to take care of yourself first, no matter what the situation is, because the other people are not going to pay your rent. You know, they're not going to pay your bills. They're not going to that sort of thing. So I don't think there's anything wrong with growing up when it comes to that. I know that in town here, the first time you sang the national anthem at a rodeo event.
PBR.
Velocity Tour.
I got to
help out with that.
You did.
I did.
I remember
getting the phone call, and I said, I know just the person for this. And I thought I thought back in that. I didn't get to go to that. I think I had a show that night, so I didn't get to go. But the first time you did something like that and that kind of crowd and singing the national anthem, was that rough for you? Was it easy for you because you already had a little experience? I would assume that there were some nerves there.
Well,
because that's a big song, too.
It is. And actually, the first time I ever sang the national anthem was for a volleyball game at my high school. And so I had one, but I was like, you know, I want to keep doing it. So then when you called me, what year was that? 17?
It's a long time ago.
You know what's so crazy, Toad, is that I almost might tear up. That year of 2017, you had made that connection, I think, with Eric Kovac or something.
Yeah.
He connected me with the folks at PBR, which I grew up watching, of course. And it was, I think, in November, the Velocity Tour had came to South Point in Las Vegas. You connected me to go sing. And it was a month after the Route 91 concert.
Nuts.
It was wild.
What a year.
What a year that was. I mean, God, like, oh my gosh, I want to cry now, because even a week after that happened, somehow I had got asked to sing the anthem at the Vegas Night of Healing Benefit concert a week after. And I didn't think I could do it, honestly. I remember my friend Stephanie Stallworth at South Point. She called me, would you do it? And obviously I said yes, because I didn't do it for me. I did it for everyone who had lost somebody they love, all the lost ones, the first responders, everybody.
The trauma. of
and
everybody.
That's the least I could do was go sing and share my gift and how I could heal and be strong a week after. And what else was crazy is that a pastor from my church was there that night at the benefit concert. And I was sitting in my green room alone. My pastor came in to just hang out. And I said, I just really need to pray right now, because I have no idea how I'm going to go out there and do it. So we had a prayer session for about 2-3 minutes. And somehow I had to have everyone leave me alone. I just walked on stage and then walked off. And then that next month, you had me connected me to sing at PBR. And a friend of mine who works for Pendleton Whiskey, Mindy, she's a sweetheart. She didn't know me from Adam. She came up to me after and said, what have you gone through? I can feel your emotion through when you sang that song. That was so touching. And then I started crying again, because she didn't know what had just happened, you know, to me personally. Yes, she knew about, you know, the city, but that's how, like, I knew I was meant to sing or meant to share my voice, just for the better of the community, or just if I'm changing one person's life or impacting someone and just showing my emotion that there are people that still care and want to share their music with somebody. Or
I think the relatability, even what you went through there, what I went through there with the community, with everything. I mean, I did a 5-year reunion last October. Mm-hmm. I did it, and it was
weird.
My
mom came to that, actually, too.
Did she?
I believe so.
At the City Amphitheater? It was downtown.
Something like that.
We wanted to do it here in the parking lot. I didn't want to do it in here because it was going to be bigger. And just the way that we put everything together, mm-hmm. it was like, I felt like in the beginning was a little bit of a struggle, because it's that. It's such a touchy thing.
Mm-hmm.
But then I made a couple phone calls. I ended up getting Midland to play.
Oh, I think I've seen a post about that.
It was pretty big. But then everyone on the under that came under it, I just literally picked up my phone and called. And everyone, absolutely, 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 absolutely. It was like the neatest thing in the world to come together. But I didn't, what did I gain out of that? You know, I gave something back to the community. I felt I did it with the city. I did it with the county. Mm-hmm. it was just one of those things where, you know, what can you do to give back, to give people that? I don't like to go back and revisit that. I really don't. But there's a lot of people that it still affects.
Totally. I mean, you think I wanted to come in here and cry and talk about that? Yeah. But I just know that our story and what we both went through can somewhat maybe save someone or sure. help somebody, like, just get through their day.
It made me a stronger person in a mindset of, I mean, I've been going through this stuff a lot lately with a couple friends, of just the communication of, you don't know if you're gonna be here tomorrow. You got to live for today.
Absolutely.
Sort of thing. And I think that's one of the things that kicked me in my ass for was, you know, you always think there's tomorrow, but
it is not promised.
There is no guarantees, man.
So that's why I just, you know, I've been here. I could have relaxed at home and been like, oh, I'm just going to hang with my dogs. But I thought, I want to keep excelling myself, my career, and also hang out with my buddy. So yeah. I want to do fun things and, you know, make new connections and fun memories. And I think that's really what life's all about. And then you can make great music after that.
Heck yeah. I mean, it's all about stories, man.
Yeah.
You know, it really is. And I think that the more emotionally tied you are to lyrics, the more it resonates with people, and I would have to say a better career you're going to have, that sort of thing, because it's so true to you. And I think in the world today, people have the ability to see the real you versus the fake you. Not you per se, but
correct.
Just in general, people mm-hmm. really understand, and they have the opportunity like no other. We had talked earlier about artistry and these artists that are coming out now, and they have so many platforms to sell themselves on, which is mm-hmm. kind of a neat thing. I was telling you, I just had Alexandra Kay here, and she's probably one of the sweetest people. Like, she's so neat, and to know that her story comes from, she's had two label deals, and now she's independent, and I believe the number she said was 25,000 tickets she sold last year as an independent
Amazing.
Artist. And what I was, I think the thing that hit me the most different about her is when I watched her fan base come in.
Mm-hmm.
It's not what you think it would be. It was across the board, older guys, older women, young, like the youthfulness. And they sang every word to just about every one of her songs. And I think that just goes to tell that if you're true to who you are, mm-hmm.
People
can relate.
Moved.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think it does that for it. Let's talk. So you do some music stuff here. What you were talking earlier that it was either Texas or Tennessee.
Yes.
So, I mean, I could see you at both places, just knowing you and knowing your music and knowing what type of person you are and the things that make you tick, sort of thing. But like, why did Tennessee trump Texas?
I think I chose Tennessee because
What a great song title, but go ahead.
I'll write you on there. I chose Tennessee because I felt like after what, you know, I'd gone through and experienced here in Vegas, what we both did, that I was saved for a reason. You know, we both saw things that no one should ever see. And I just thought, how foolish would I be to not share my story or share my voice or even a song I wrote, just because of what happened. I wanted to spread positivity, make people feel like they can have somebody to relate to. I even wrote a song about that night, Toad. I never released it because I'm too scared to, honestly, because it hits so close to home, and it's very vulnerable. Maybe one day I will.
You should. You will when you're ready.
When I'm ready.
I think it'll come
and
out.
And it's been almost freaking 5 years, you know? But
Six. Yeah.
Wow. But Tennessee, I truly loved because I wanted to be around other people who inspired me, who were doing the same thing I was. There's so many great musicians and songwriters and artists. And it's just a really great electric town. You know, there you do have to be careful, but from what I've experienced, people just want to help people. You know, one of my best buds is, we call him Uncle Eddie, across the way from the barn where I board my horse. We just go hunt turkeys or watch the cows in the evening. And after I got done playing with my horse, that's just a really home feeling to me. And I love Texas because I wanted to go rodeo with my cousin. But at the same time, I can go ride my horse whenever I want in Tennessee.
And not get hurt.
And not get hurt. Well, I mean, I like to, you know, have fun out in the woods, but yeah, go hog hunting, that's fun.
Hog hunting.
Oh yeah.
Dude, where did all this hunting come from? I mean, I look at you, you're a beautiful woman. You sit back and you get these ideas of exactly what you would do for fun, and you're the total opposite of what people would think.
Well, and that's what I like.
Yeah. And that's not a bad thing, but yeah. I mean, it's like, how do you get into hog hunting, turkey hunting? I mean, fishing, I guess I can get that, but.
Well, I think my dad kind of got me into the hunting thing because he would go up to we would go up to our friend's ranch in Idaho every year for a wonderful event, and they would go shoot prairie dogs it was for extermination because some of the times the prairie dogs would, you know, burrow holes in the ground and the calves would, you know, break their legs in the holes. And that's good beef, you know, gone to waste. You're laughing.
No, I'm like dinner.
Dinner. And then I was seeing a young guy in Texas and he was big into rodeo as well. I would go hog hunting with him and we take the dogs out too, so it gets a little gnarly. I don't know, you know, if all of our listeners want to hear the details, but so we take the dogs out, go hog hunting. We try to go scope some deer. What else? A friend of my father's took me on a hunt in Idaho again to get my first antelope, which was amazing. It's almost a rush to see that, and we dressed it. We took it to the butcher. And we ate them. It was pretty good.
It's kind of neat. And I've never killed a deer. I used to cut meat for a living, so I understand that side of it all, but I've never just a live one to.
I get it. I mean, it's not always for everybody,
no.
But I will say we harvested the meat and
used it all for good purpose.
And the carcass was left for the wolves and the coyotes.
Perfect. I think that's just a way of life, man. That stuff doesn't bother me. At the end of the day, I know there are all people out there that are for it and against it. That I was sitting here one night, and my buddy Steven was playing here, and he does this new thing where he brings players from older bands from the early 2000s. So Charlie Collin from Train was here, who wrote Drops of Jupiter and Calling All Angels. I met a gentleman from him that particular night because his son was getting mentored from Charlie to play guitar and everything like that. Kind of really a neat kind of thing, but... We're sitting at dinner, and he's like, Toad, what are you doing tomorrow? I'm like, well, I don't know what I'm doing tonight. Like, tomorrow's... like, and he was like, if you want to go on a road trip, I'll give you a quarter cow. He's like, I own this cattle ranch in Manti, Utah. And he was like, if you go on the trip, I'll just give it to you. It's not accounted for. And I went, I'm in. Just like that. So I went up. I didn't realize Manti, Utah. I don't know if you know where that is. But
I don't even think I've ever heard of that.
It's 45 minutes out of Salt Lake. So it wasn't a short little jaunter. Let's just say that.
But it was a nice road trip. Yeah.
In the middle of winter, like, which is even worse. Like, we were going 15 miles an hour through this canyon. I'm just like, dude, where are you? You going to kill me out here? Like, what the hell's going on?
I'm going to be stranded.
But it was super fun. I brought home all this meat, and I was like, this is rad. I did ask the butcher something. Not the butcher, but the processors were there when we picked out everything up. And they just had everything laid out and tagged what everything was and frozen packages and everything. And I asked the guy because I cut meat. I know what my favorite cut of meat is. What is your favorite cut of meat from a cow?
It's like a good filet, honestly.
A good filet. You ever had a hanger steak?
Once before.
Yeah, well, that's my favorite because it's the difference. To me, it's the difference in a ribeye and a filet. A filet, you eat when you're lazy because you don't want to cut through the fat, but you love the flavor of a ribeye, right?
Oh, yeah.
A hanger is right in the middle. There's no fat, but there's fat content that cooks out. It's the most tender, most for me.
Get me a new hanger steak.
Yes. Well, I go to the butcher here on Rainbow. He's a friend of mine. Ron owns the butcher block.
Oh, yes. Okay.
I walk in there and I get 10 at a time. And I freeze them and I
eat. My dad does that with lamb.
Lamb is good like that too. I asked him, I said, where's the hanger steak? And they both just turned their head sideways. And I was like, what, are we not talking anymore? Like that. And my buddy Hunter looks at me and he goes, what are you asking him for? And I said, I'm asking him for the butcher's cut. Is what I'm asking them for. And they both just totally just started talking about other things. I'm like, you mother.
Okay, great.
You guys kept all that shit. Like,
we don't know where it is.
Yeah, but they grass feed a cow, and every year they keep it for the family. So he's like, same time next year, bring the road trip. We'll fill your freezer again. I'm like, holy cow. I'll eat that all day long.
I do enjoy hunting and fishing, of course. But I grew up riding and training horses with my mom. that's why I kind of wanted to go rodeo a bit. But just my love and passion and drive for country music took me to Nashville.
You live the lifestyle. You're not a phony. You're definitely not a phony. So I'm not saying that any other people are, but there are some people out there that don't particularly live that lifestyle.
That is correct.
It's not a horrible thing, but
yeah, I mean, you know, and even like during here for NFR, there are probably folks who don't know what the hell's going on during it, and I would love to go with them so I can explain everything.
Sure.
And I'd like to share my knowledge of what I know to folks who may not be so well informed, because it's enlightening for me. I love to tell people, okay, well, you know, if the horse runs around this side and then the bull bucks that way, or if it comes out with its head down, you know, it's just fun for me to talk about. And that's kind of what I grew up, you know, going to and watching. But yeah, I think that was a really long bunny trail, but at the end of the day, my passion and love for the music has led me to Tennessee, and I've met so many great people. Brian White of Watching You, Blame It On You, he's one of my good friends now. Brian Bunn, he used to play guitar for Thomas Rhett. My friend Don Miggs, he just was on Dolly's rock album, and he has his own band, Whole Damn Mess, and he's best friends with Mick Fleetwood. I've met a lot of really great people.
Not a bad group. I want to go back to rodeo real quick. What is your, when you come for NFR or PBR, I know they're kind of different, but what is your favorite event to watch?
Well, I'm a team roper, so I love watching the team roping. And I'd probably say my second is barrels.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Barrels are rad because it's two people really. I mean, it's a horse and somebody.
Yeah, you
somebody
literally have to be one.
Yeah.
And you can go buy $200,000, $300,000, $500,000 horse, but if you can't ride,
you ain't going to do shit. Yeah.
That's you so got to be glued to your saddle.
All right, let's get to Nashville. So you moved to Nashville. Did you go with family? Did your mom go out there the first time with you? Did you go by yourself?
Well, so here's what happened. I finished out my senior year of college at UTK in Knoxville. My best friend from home, she went there, and I said, I'm going to come visit you. And I thought to myself, I want to move to Knoxville. Like, I want to finish out college there. So I did move to Knoxville, go back and forth to Nashville.
What'd you go to school for?
Music and business.
Okay. So why didn't you go to Belmont? Because you just wanted to be with your friend?
Well, I had went to go visit my girlfriend, Gabrielle, and I just loved Knoxville, and I didn't really know a lot of people in Nashville yet. And so I wanted to baby steps.
Gotcha. That's a big move from here to there.
Totally. But that was during COVID, so I was only really there for 2 months. And I was going back and forth to Nashville to work on music, to make connections, and to sing. Had to go back to Las Vegas. Finally moved back out to Nashville in 2021. And I moved out there by myself. I lived on a farm with a young lady. We both kept our horses there. Like I said, my mom, she moved out there with me the first time, helped me get settled. And then I was just on my own.
Yeah.
But that was the step I was willing to take to accomplish what I wanted to do for my life. And I think it was a good, you know, stepping stone.
It's a big move by yourself. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure you had core friends, but the end of the day is you're literally far from family.
Yeah.
Far from everything you grew up knowing.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of neat.
And it's probably the best thing I ever did.
Yeah.
Honestly.
I was not born here. Been here a long time. Literally a long. I should have been born here. I was here. I've been
right?
here that long. But you think about that old story of all those people that never leave their hometown.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of weird. I've traveled a lot. I've seen a lot of things. Sometimes I think it's time, you know?
You know, I knew it was time for me. That's why I just had to get out of Vegas for a little bit. Even being back here now, just for NFR, because I was singing out here for a few days, I'm thinking, I need to get back to Nashville.
Right.
I need to get back to, you know, my sanity. My work. Yeah, I have to go make some money, y'all. We all do. But I came out here to work and sing, and that's what I love to do. But I really enjoy my time I have in Nashville. I've made some really great friends, made some really great memories. And I like it down there because you can just, you know, drive to Chattanooga, go to Atlanta, go to Kentucky. There's beautiful horse ranches up there. And like I said, people are just a lot nicer out there, in my opinion. And they're just good old boys, good old girls that want to help you.
I like the word genuine.
Yeah.
They're very genuine out there. Pre-COVID, yeah. I was out there 2-3 times a month.
That's right. You were out there a lot.
I was out there a lot. And then I went Thanksgiving for, I went out there, Sam Groh's Opry debut. I went out for.
Yeah, okay.
That was pretty rad. Mm-hmm. But I definitely need to get back out there again. I was out there last year. Haven't been out there, I don't believe, this year at all, which is rare. But I'll be coming soon, early next year. Let's talk 23. What was your highlight of this year?
Whoa, what did I... Oh, man. I think, not anything really physical, but I feel I've gotten more in touch with myself and who I am and who I want to be. And that level of self-realization and growth, I believe. And as I just said, my uncle just passed away yesterday morning, and he impacted my life musically quite a bit. So I think just realizing who I am, who I want to be, how I'm going to tell my story, and being true to myself, and realizing just to really hone in on my craft and what I want to go for, and to better myself every day. Actually, a good friend of mine said, if you see yourself in 10 years, have that image in your mind. Live today as if you were already that person. And I fall short. We all do.
Sure.
But I have been trying to really discipline myself to be more active on my socials, be posting more. Just, you know, check up on my good friends or even my parents, because I was like, oh, my parents, you know, but that tomorrow's not promised. And really work on myself, because you said earlier, you have to take care of yourself first. You can't be a good friend, you can't be a good partner, you can't even be a good employee if you don't take care of yourself. And that's what I've been working on this year.
So then let's jump to 24. You have goals? Have you already, like, do you like take notes, journal or anything like that?
I think mentally, we discussed earlier, one of my goals I would love to open for Cody Johnson one day, because him and I both share that love and passion for country music, of course, and the Western lifestyle, rodeo. He used to.
Yeah.
And
I watched Deer Rodeo.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, the documentary.
Yeah. Have you seen it?
Oh, it made me cry.
Only thing I would change in that is that he put it out after Till You Can't dropped. Is what I wish. I wish, because the story is so phenomenal. Like, who he is as a person, the way he carries himself. Sitting in here with him was phenomenal. Just to hear his stories and what he's done and his career.
He's lived a lot.
He has. And to see that with Deer Rodeo, the only thing I miss is I wish, because Till You Can't is just a huge song.
Totally.
Huge song, because it goes along with what we're talking about too. Mm-hmm. You know, tomorrow's never promised,
right.
You know. But yeah, what a story. But
totally. I went to the CMA Awards in November, and he sang his song The Painter.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about crying all the time, but I did cry when he sang that song, because for him to have all this success, but really his wife Brandy had so many hardships. But just to see that there's still a good man out there who truly really does love his wife and is crazy about her and wrote this beautiful song. Well, a few other folks wrote it.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, just the way he talks about her in his interviews or that song was just truly inspirational. And that's his story about his wife. And he was sharing it with us, and it moved me and a bunch of other people, I'm sure of. So I would love to do some sort of collab with Cody next year, if that's God's timing.
Do you have the means to do that? Like, do you know the people?
I can make it happen.
Good. I would love to see that. I can't wait to watch that journey. I mean, I think that just outside of all of that, but I think it's.
I think I can make it happen.
Are you writing a lot these days?
Yeah. So, how I've been with my life, there's been a few ebbs and flows, just how it could be with anybody, really. But my friend Brian White, I mentioned to you, he's been one of my mentors back home or in Nashville.
That is home.
It is now.
You're in Vegas.
I think so, right. I just feel he really gets me as a person, and he helps portray and helps me say what I'm feeling. I try to write at least once a week, because, you know, I do have my day job as well. But my bosses are really great. They let me take off as much as I need. They let me take off to come here and work, because they're, you know, supportive of me. But I've been writing, you know, doing some demos. Even if, Like, I had to go write one day. I was at work. I went to go write and then came back to work. So I just try to get it where I can, really, because the music is like a drug. Like, it will never not be a part of me. And I have to keep either writing or singing, or if I think of a really cool song lyric, I literally write it down while I'm at work just so I can come back to it later. I was on a roll one day, and I was like, oh, that's a good line. Oh, wait, what if it said like this? What if it went here? I just kept going, and I thought, wait, I have to get back to work. It's something that will never leave me, and it's my passion, and it's my love. It was my first love, and that's, you know, how I want to keep my life going.
I think it would be neat if you got some sort of a publishing deal that you could quit your other work.
That would
and
be
just survive that
amazing.
Way of just it'll happen. I believe all that stuff happens for a reason, and when people have stories to tell, that stuff comes to light.
Well, another person who's actually been really good to me is Taylor Sheridan. I've been singing for him for about the past four years. So he has this huge Rain and Cow Horse show in Vegas every year, and he has me sing the anthem like for every day. And this past year, he hired me to do a few guitar and, you know, cover sets with my originals in the Western Gift Show, which was so fun. And then he also invites me to his ranch in Weatherford, Texas. It's beautiful. There's a really big cutting horse show out there, and it's called the Brazos Bash. It's right on the river. But he's always been, you know, good to me. He makes sure I'm taken care of, you know, lodging, you know, travel. He's been one of the people that kind of helped me keep going.
Yeah.
And I'm really grateful for that. And every year at the Brazos Bash, he has someone come and sing. And this past year, it was Zach Bryan.
No way.
I was literally front row like this. In the arena. It was really cool.
Are you a fan of Zach Bryan?
I think he's a really great songwriter. He has this really interesting voice. It's kind of like a raspy storyteller. It's pretty raw.
Do you think people have craved, I would like to call that old school country style that he's got? Do you think people have craved that? That's why he exploded the way he exploded?
Totally. Yeah. And another person that comes to mind, not exactly the same sound, but Zach Top. He's another artist that's coming up. He just wrote a song.
I don't know who that is, but I will go listen.
He has a song called There's the Sun. And you would really think it came out of the 90s.
Really?
It's beautiful. He's going on tour with Lainey Wilson and Jackson Dane.
Don't know either one of them.
Well, they're coming up. You know, everyone's kind of got
a little
their
something, something.
But yeah, I think Zach Bryan, he's done really well for himself.
Yeah.
I mean, the amount of people that love his music and love him and his storytelling too. So yeah, I think I like him.
Who is your favorite artist to listen to these days?
Hmm.
Like, if you're just going to go ride your horse. Do you have a playlist that you listen to? Do you have an artist that you like?
You know, I grew up on Randall Lambert.
Yeah.
My favorite album by her was The Weight of These Wings. And then my second favorite was the Marfa Tapes when she did it in Marfa, Texas.
Yeah.
And that was probably, those two albums were probably the most vulnerable I'd ever seen her. And that's why I like it.
That's not a bad thing. Mm-hmm. Is there some new artists other than this Zach Top person that you like to listen to?
Well, Lainey Wilson's not extremely, extremely new, but she's been killing it.
She does her own damn thing, period.
She sure does. And I even teared up when she won a CMA for, I think, Artist of the Year, I believe.
I don't remember,
it was something like that. And I was sitting right up on the stage, and she was just so elated and so grateful. And it's amazing to see that, like I said, there are still people who don't just want it for the fame. That's like, this is their dream, and
right,
this is what they love to do. And I feel like her and I have a lot in common. And I actually met her at this pizza joint by my house in Nashville as I was sitting there with my hairdresser. And I said, Tyler, isn't that Lainey? He's like, oh, yeah, I did her hair. So we were all hanging out and got some pizza together. It was fun.
What is the best pizza in Nashville?
In my opinion, there is this place called NY Pie.
New York style, definitely.
Yes. But my all-time favorite is this other place called Midnight Oil. They have this really good flavor called Sweet Heat.
Okay.
It's like capricciola, dried jalapenos, and hot honey.
Dude, that hot honey stuff is just retarded. So good.
I love spicy. Yeah. So, and I even put red pepper on it.
Really?
I like spicy food.
I had, trying to think of the name of the place. It's up on the top of Eastern. I always do this. I never, I got a pizza there one night and they put that hot honey on it. I was like, holy cow, this stuff is like addicting.
It's so good.
I make cornbread at home. I put the
you
hot honey
what?
On it.
We should commission Lauren to make hot honey.
What the heck? What are we waiting for? So we're going to put her on Chopped.
Wait, she would be really good at that.
Yes. Yes. Agreed. Agreed. What's your go-to when you're at home? Like, when at home, I'm talking about Nashville. Mm-hmm. When you go to Nashville and you go out for the night and you just want to hang out and you want to be...
Losers.
Losers.
I always go to Losers.
Still?
Yeah.
Even after they moved? The Whiskey Jam stuff?
Well. You know, there have been a lot of opinions on the Whiskey Jam.
I have one.
Oh, I'm sure I know it. So, for everyone who doesn't know, Whiskey Jam used to be held at Winners in Midtown, and they moved it to Dirk's Bentley Bar on Broadway. And to replace Whiskey Jam at Winners, they now have Whiskey Fest. So,
is it still Ward or no?
Ward is still there, yes.
For the Whiskey Fest?
I don't believe so. He might go back and forth, but he's usually at Whiskey Jam at Dirk's Bentley. But it's, I like homey, you know, warm, just classic things. So
that place was a staple.
Correct. And I was a little sad to see that they moved it, because you think all the locals, I'm a local now, I haven't always been, but you think, oh, Whiskey Jam's at Winners. We're going to Winners to watch Whiskey Jam. And now it's
to go see your friends.
And yeah, correct. And I've had
with
plenty.
With your friends.
Correct. And you grown up in Vegas, you want to avoid the Strip at all costs. And now Nashville, now I know it's not anything as huge or as extravagant as Las Vegas Strip, but you're still thinking,
it's the same thing.
Dang, I don't know if I want to go to Broadway, because you have to pay for parking and walk through all these crowds.
And there's just a mess of tourists.
I do agree. But if they have success, let them have it, you know? And
I'm sure there's a story. I've heard a couple different things about it. Nothing that I know per se, because mm-hmm. I really didn't ask Ward. But it's like one of those things where you sit back and I don't think it needed to grow. I think it was what it was, but there's clearly something that happened. Mm-hmm. But I think it takes its
authenticity.
Yeah, it just takes it right away. Because if we were to take Stoney's and we were to put it, let's say, inside the Cosmopolitan, what happens?
Well, you can't really do that because you already have Gillies on the Strip.
I just mean in that sense, it totally takes away what this... When I have artists that come here for the first time and they play, and they're from Nashville, and they walk the back wall and they see all their friends that have played here, and they tell me, oh, yeah, 5 years I've wanted to play here, or 3 years, or... I've had a couple artists that literally come up and they're like, dude, open up your email on your phone, type in this name. I'm like, holy shit, that was like 2016. They're like, yeah. And what is it? What year is it? They're like, 2022. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. Like, what am I supposed to do? Like, the artists that try and get in here. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, think about it. One day a week is normally what we do. Mm-hmm. That's 52 shows a year. How many country artists do you know? So it's tough. But the end of the day is I think of Whiskey Jam like that. And I think of the notoriety that it's built. I've told the story a few times. Monday nights, when it was at Winners, I would sit at home on my couch and I would put my AirPods on and I would listen to new artists. This is how I cultivate, because it gave me an opportunity to see something without being there and really understand who the artist is, where they came from, if their music's any good, what's their stage presence like, you know, how's the band. And a lot of people have asked me how I find new music, and that's one of the ways that I find it.
I remember you would go to Nashville just to, you know, scout.
That's it. I would just go there and listen and go find these things, and now I get emails, and I just got introduced to this kid named Lane Smith. Probably don't know him. He's got this song called Austin. Not Co Wetzel's. Similar.
Okay.
Similar vein. But this person kept writing me and writing me and writing me. I got like 13 emails and I finally responded. And because I went and listened to a couple songs and I just booked him just based off probably 11 or 12 emails. And I listened to the song Austin, then I listened to the other songs, and I just made sure that, hey, like, this is what we are. We have this upbeat thing, mm-hmm. you know, and this platform we have here on Fridays, whether they know you or they don't, you're still going to play for 500-600 people, or if you sell tickets, you're going to play for 900 to 1,000. Like, it's kind of like one of those things. And that's what's fun for me, is finding new artists and listening mm-hmm. to new music.
It's like treasure hunt.
It is. It literally is. I did my Spotify thing where I listened to 6,600 different artists last year.
Wow.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
But I'm sure you found a lot of great ones.
I did. But I enjoy that. I mean, it wasn't all country, but I mean, I enjoy that. And I think that I hope that by moving to Dierks, it doesn't. I'm guessing it's a different platform for them to sell more merch, to get more exposure, to play for different people. I had lunch yesterday with somebody you might know. His name is John Marks. Do you know John Marks?
I believe so.
I'm going to help you with this one. He was the guy that started the Highway on XM. And then he went to Spotify, New Boots, Wild Country, Hot Country. Yeah. I like to say that I always like to put him on this pedestal because he humbles me every time I talk to him. But he made a lot of artists. He helped a lot of artists. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of in my infancy what I'm doing, I believe, here by opening the doors for artists. Because Vegas is a tough town.
Super tough. It's the entertainment capital of the world.
Yeah. I said something this morning that I was on the phone and I said, the thing about Vegas is you don't want for anything here. You really don't. If you come here and you want, it's available. You don't have to want for it. All you have to do is ask for it and it's here. You think about it. Sex, drugs, entertainment, rock and roll, drugs. Like you just keep going through that. It's all available here at any time. You go to 7-Eleven 24 hours a day. And probably get all that stuff right there. You know. Yeah. But the end of the day is like, people choose to come and see new music. Mm-hmm. Makes me happy. But that's why I do my research the way I do my research. I don't want to find artists that, to me, I believe they have something. Mm-hmm. And
I think that's one part. Well, the biggest part of your job is you get so happy and you have the pleasure of seeing these young artists or these upcomers and then make it in the future. I mean, how many have you done that you're like, oh, we booked him at Stoney's years ago? I remember you said you did a handshake with Brett Young to play.
A handshake deal, no contract.
Right. Yeah. And that's the thing. He just wanted it so bad. He's like, heck yeah, I'm going to do it. Like, why not? And that's just a good old boy. Like,
it was a Saturday night and Monday. His first, I don't know if it's, was it Sleep Alone or Sleep Without You, whatever that song is called. I forget.
Sleep Without You.
Yeah. Which one went number one first? But that Monday, it went number one.
Wow.
You couldn't even get in here. It was lightning in a jar. Luke Combs played here. Paid him $500. He opened for Corey Smith. Morgan Wallen's played her three times. Jordan Davis, three, four times. Russell Dickerson, seven times.
You know what's so funny is living in Nashville now, you could just be going out on a weekday even, just to more like the local spots, and you can see there's just people all around. Yeah. I mean, it's not like there's a group of, you know, a bunch of famous artists just at one joint, but I've met and seen so many people around town. You're like, oh, hey, like, I know that guy, or that guy has a good song.
It's neat for me to explain to people. So I go back to this all come together full circle. I don't use TikTok very often at all. I don't. But I got it and I changed my name to Toad Talk. TOADTOK. I thought it was a cool name. Mm-hmm. What I wanted to do was get an intern to follow me around. So when artists show up, they understand what it is, because they have no idea what you do when you get here. They have no idea what the process is of loading in,
right?
Doing sound check, doing a podcast, going to eat, getting
back.
Pre-show rituals. Mm-hmm. Like, these people don't really have an insight to what they did, and that was the whole reason why I got it. But that's what I really, really, really wanted to do with it, is just expose what...
like the behind the scenes.
Well, and to show them, you go back to, you said you go out, you might go to the Red Door. I've found that on a Tuesday or Wednesday night, you go to the Red Door, or Winners or Losers, you're going to run into somebody.
Somebody.
And the neat part for me is that I might have an artist here on Friday, but there's five people in the band or four people in the band. One of them is out always. I'm like, Toad, what's going on? I'm like, holy shit, you're in so-and-so. Like, but the exposure for it all, to me, I'm going back to that full circle piece, is that they're all human. Mm-hmm. They're just regular people. They just chose a different avenue of a job. That's it. That's the only difference in them. You put your pants on just like Lainey Wilson does. Well, her might be a little bit tighter. But
she got the bell bottoms on.
A little bit more flair. Uh-huh. A little bit like at the bottom. Right. But I think that's the neat part. And I don't think people get to understand that. And one of the reasons why I watch Whiskey Jam the way that I watch is because I can see how people... they leave that live stream on, so I can watch them load in. I can see how their personalities are and their attitudes, right, if they're a dick or not, like that sort of thing.
It's true.
Yeah.
I think, like when you said, like, oh, going out and meeting new people, like there's people everywhere. And I used to be a little shy. Like, I don't want to go say hi. I don't want to say anything. But you know, I've just gone up to people and say, oh, hey, I've listened to your music. I think you're doing really good. And keep it up. Even when you had me sing ACM 2018, I think. Oh, wow, that was a long time ago.
You're old.
I sang the anthem for the ACM Fest out here in the parking lot.
Tailgate, yeah.
The Tailgate Fest, yeah. And John Party was just getting big. And he's a cowboy, too.
Yeah.
And I said, John, I just want to say, I love that you're a cowboy, and I love that you're keeping country music country, so thank you for that. And I shook his hand. He's like, well, you're welcome, little lady. You know, they're just like good old boys. They're and Lainey, she's just killing it. Miranda, I actually wanted to see her show while I was here. I heard it's phenomenal.
I've heard that, too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always afraid to go to those shows because it's going to be – I don't like the overproduction of stuff. If you watch me at a show, I like to stand on the side. I like the sound from the stage. Last year, Hardy played Country Fan. This year, played Country Fan Fest in Utah. I've been going that since 19. Mm-hmm. I've done some booking with them, which is fun. Like, they've called and needed some artists, and I've helped out, pointed them right directions with some stuff. And I got to go this year, and I love the story. Through music, you get to meet people, right? Mm-hmm. And if you're a good person, they open doors, they help you out with stuff, whatever. So Hardy does his show. I don't know if you've seen Hardy lately.
He, Post Malone and Morgan Wallen sing at the CMAs.
They did.
AC.
So let's go outside of that. Let's go a Hardy show. They do direct mm-hmm. input. There's no amps on the stage. No nothing. So there's zero stage down other than the drummer, period.
Wow.
It's kind of crazy, right? It takes it. I was kind of blown away. So I was there, and there was a group of us that wanted to go. And there's this girl, Jamie, that travels with us up there all the time that's friends with my friends, Sparky and Ray. And she's... a Hardy fan, and she wanted to go up on the side stage. So I go to walk in the back, mm-hmm. and the guy that owns all of Country Fan Fest, his name is Hal, we're walking in the back, and he goes, they shut the stage down. And I went, okay, like that. And he goes, but what pass do you have?
Oh.
And I showed him my Hardy pass, and he goes, of course you have that. Of course you do. There was three people on stage, someone, one of Hardy's, and me and another person, me wow. and whoever I brought up there. But I went to the side of the stage, and to me it was, you could hear nothing except the drummer. I like the drums, so it was fine for me. But for anybody else that really has never experienced something mm-hmm. like that, it's really weird. But because that's what I like. I like to consume that side stage stuff. I like the rawness. That's why mm-hmm. I like Whiskey Jam so much, because it's in your face, literally right. in your face. It's
and the talent that comes through those doors is, I mean, there's so many talented people in Nashville.
There are.
I mean, it's very electrifying. It's very inspiring. And I even love to go watch my friends even play at the local or even Live Oak. I've done
listening
some
rooms
in the listening room. It's just, I like to go watch other people and how they are and how they perform too.
I love telling the story. I went back one year for, I believe it was CRS, and a bunch of the radio people were leaving. I'm like, they're like, dude, are you going to see Garth with us? And I was like, no. And they're like, what about Zach Brown Band? I said, no. And they're like, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to see new music. And they said, well, Garth will probably play a new song. And I said, that's cute. They're like, where are you going to go? So I went to go see Austin Jinx at the Basement.
Oh, okay.
So there was maybe 30 people there. Perfect yeah. for me. Then after that, I went over to the Bluebird Cafe for a ladies' night. Stephanie Quayle played. And that, to me, is what it's all about. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to see these new artists and see them in an element that most people will never be able to see people like that in.
I think that's one special thing about Nashville is you can go almost any night of the week to see live, every night of the week to see yeah. live music, and you just never know who's gonna, you know, make the cut.
Do you ever play on Broadway?
I have sat in with a few friends of mine's bands, but I have not done the whole gig.
You don't want to?
You know,
it's work, man.
It is. And one thing that I'd rather get, I don't want to say burnt out, but I'd rather spend my energy on playing writer's rounds than doing the full 3-4 hour sets on Broadway. And also, if some people don't know, a lot of those venues want you to sign contracts. You know, for certain finances or for, I don't want to say ownership, but there's a few addendums that kind of go into those things. And I, I just kind of want to protect myself the most I can.
Sure.
But I wouldn't be if someone said, hey, do you want to come down to this place, you know, sing for a few hours? Like, yeah, of course. And some folks might say, that's crazy. You should be playing at every place you can be at. I agree to a point because I don't want to oversell myself, if that makes sense, or just be that girl that plays on Broadway. And the folks who do that, they are singing for hours, they're making good tips, they're living their dream, and that's what they want to do.
Sure.
And
sure, sure.
You're
being so politically correct right now. I love it.
I'm just trying to really put my thoughts together because I've thought about this a lot, but no one's really asked me. And that's kind of how I want to, you know, I'm going to be who I am and say what I feel, but I never want to, you know, put anyone down or, you know, scrutinize someone for playing on Broadway because it is fun. I've done it, you know, and the crowds are electric and they want to shout out another song, do another one. And it's funny because when I would go sit in with my friends' bands, they would say, can you do another song? Can she get back up? And I would say, me again? And it's just fun to make people laugh and dance, right. And you just want to move the crowd. But I really do love the intimate settings.
It's a total difference. I sat with John Marks one time, and we right here, and we had this conversation about Broadway artists versus original artists. And I was always under the impression and the understanding that they're two different people. But John brought up a great point for me in this, and he said it's a great way to hone your craft,
mm-hmm.
collect a new fan base.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, and hone your craft. Literally, because it's the grind. It's the total grind. I have friends that do it because they don't want to travel, that were in bigger bands,
mm-hmm.
that were out there, but they didn't want to travel because they wanted to stay home more. Mm-hmm. And I get that side of it, but they love music so much and they love the freedom that they have by doing that. But I look back and I'm one of those people that as I've gotten much older, I sit back and think, dude, what's my long-term play here?
Mm-hmm.
And you can't do Broadway at, I mean, maybe you could at 60. I don't freaking know.
Hey, John Daly's getting up at Kid Rock's every now and then.
That's different. He's got money.
All right.
And that place is fucking crazy, man. I've been in there a couple times, and I just, like, look up on the stage. I usually know one of the players because they've rolled through here.
That's one of the spots that I would go sing at.
That's an interesting stage.
I think it's kind of cool because
three or four different levels of.
Yeah, you can walk up and down, and then you go on the bar area and sing, of course, but I would love to do like a little set. So here's the thing. There's this place called the Late Great on the bottom of the Virgin Hotel.
Okay.
And it's
new.
A really newer, yes.
Yeah.
It's a speakeasy, and they actually have the acoustics in there, the sound are actually for like live performances, but it's really small and quaint. I actually filmed part of my Get to Me music video in there.
Okay.
And so if you see that's kind of in the video, that's where we had it. But like I was wanting to do a showcase for when like my full EP or my full album would come out and, you know, invite everyone there. And I made friends with the managers and they said, well, of course, come back anytime. My managers previously had made that connection for me, but that's what I'm saying. It's like people are just want to see you do good and they want to invite you into their space and they want you to like use.
I think maybe it becomes part of their story too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which is
just
not
like
a bad
yours.
Thing. Yeah.
I mean, you get to say, like I said, oh, we did the handshake deal or I had this person or I helped that person. You helped me get to sing at the PBR that one year. It all is a huge tumbleweed effect into something bigger. And you get to see artists grow, learn, and how you said about like the Broadway situation. Those guys and girls sing for hours at a time. They play the same songs over and over again, but like how good are they at doing that now?
Yeah.
They're badass. And we, like I said, it gets people moving. They get the tips. They get people dancing. They want the requests and, you know, oh, we'll buy you a shot. Let's do a drink. It's a really fun time.
It's a straight party.
It is.
At 11 o'clock in the morning on a Tuesday.
Oh boy. But, so yeah, I think it's whatever someone has to do to get where they need to be or want to be, then that's what they got to do.
Do you have, venues that you look at that you look forward to playing, like bigger venues, stuff like Billy Bob's?
Yeah, I actually had a connection over at Billy Bob's. But see, it's funny, and you might have to knock some sense to me here, because I think to myself, okay, I want to play at Billy Bob's. I really do. My friend gave me their booking agent's email, and he said, okay, just refer me as, tell them your, I'm your referral. I'm sure it'll be taken care of. And that excited me a lot. But then I get into my, overthinking part of myself, and I think to myself, well, okay, if I want to reach out to them, then I want to have at least this many songs out, and then I want to make sure I want to look at the roster to see who's playing, maybe see if they need an opener, or do I just do like an afternoon show? Like, I get too in my head about it.
Right.
And I need to not be.
You should let them help you with that, because I'm sure that, like myself, mm-hmm. I look at stuff and I do the same thing. We don't do openers here unless it's a really big show, mm-hmm. but they usually bring somebody.
Right.
I don't book local stuff. Never have, never will, other than you.
Hi.
dude, you really think about that. There's not too many of them. There's only a couple bands that have really played here that are locals that have played. That's nuts.
Yeah.
But you send them your stuff, and I mean, for anything, it could be direction. It could help you. Mm-hmm. It could help you, and they could say, hey, I've got Cody Johnson coming through here in November. I'm just saying.
Hey, yeah, I don't
I'm just
know.
Saying. Uh-huh. Because it's like Dylan Carmichael rolled through here, and I like him. I love his story. I love his family history, because his relations are nuts. But he had three places he wanted to play: the Opry, Billy Bob's, and Stoney's. And he was the first ever employee to play the Opry.
Wow.
Because he was a security guard there, and then he got to play. Then he got to play here, and I told him, here's the deal, dude. When you play Billy Bob's, I want to know. I'll get there. You just make sure I get in. That's all I care about. But the rest of it is like, I look forward to stuff like that. Like, you should have those goals, and don't get inside your head. Mm-hmm. Like, send that email. Talk to them.
And that's where I was saying, like, self-reflection of who I want to be, what I want to do, and doing what I can to make it happen.
Manifest that shit.
Of course. Billy Bob's, the Ryman, the Opry. The Rosewell would be badass even in LA.
Wow.
Coming here. I mean, that's, even Nissan, or I just.
What about Red Rocks?
That'd be really cool, actually.
Randall King just played there, and I'm kind of bummed I didn't go. Like, their camp is super good. I love those guys. Mm-hmm. And it was like one of those things where I've been to Red Rocks, never for a show. I've been there in the afternoon. My buddy Nick lives in downtown Denver. So I've been there two or three times with him during the day. Mm-hmm. But, like, what an opportunity to go with a band that you really like, and you really, that you know that they're, I want to go there for a band's first show, not their second. But I want to go for their first mm-hmm. time playing there, because that venue is ridiculous.
It's beautiful.
And I hear that the best seat in the house is the very top.
Well, yeah, because all the sound, you know, resonates up.
And you would assume these people all buy the seats at the bottom. You're like, I don't want to see it. I want to hear it.
Right. I mean, you can see it just from far away, but it's just, I mean, good music, really good music that moves me. I would sit in the front. I would sit in the back.
Doesn't
you know,
matter.
On the side. I would just want to go just to hear it, you know, yeah. You see it.
I think it's rad.
Mm-hmm.
Send the email.
I will.
Please do it. Do me a favor. Tell people how to find you online. Let's go grab some lunch.
So my Instagram is Sienna Music, S-I-E-N-A, Sienna with one N, Sienna Music. And then my TikTok is also Sienna Music, along with my YouTube.
Do you love TikTok?
You know, I think I find some pretty good videos on there. Oh, also, I know another goal. I want to meet Theo Von and do something with him like this.
That'd be an interesting... Yeah. We know people between the two of us who probably make that happen.
I think so.
I just want to sit in the room when that happens. How about that?
If no, you're going to be on it with us.
I'll let him drive that. You know, I'd rather sit back and maybe be a fly on the wall for that one.
You can just have a beer in the corner.
Yeah. I think that would, who's that? Oh, that's Toad.
But I am active on my socials. You know, the social media thing, it's a job. It's a job. Definitely. And you're just going to keep on it and keep working. And
what's your favorite platform?
I I think like Instagram, because that's what came first.
Right.
You know, we were all on our little iPhone, what, 13s? When we were
Shit, earlier than that. Earlier I mean, than you're still a kid,
the round ones. The round ones. When they only had black and white.
Oh, yeah.
Remember? I don't even know what number that was.
Not
the three.
A 13. Yeah,
it was a three.
It was a long time ago.
I had a three
ago.
In there somewhere.
I want to say, I still have my BlackBerry at home, and I find it every now and then. And it's funny, because when I used to talk on my BlackBerry, my finger, that was my fidget thing. Mm. And I'd do this, and I wore the whole back off of it. When I get home today, I'll take a picture
That's
of it and
funny.
Send it to you. But it's literally, I find it every now and then. I know exactly where it's at right now, but I just found it the other day, and I'm like, I posted a picture of it, and I joked, and I was like, call me maybe. But when I look at the back of it, I remember I used to just walk, and this is what I would do on my phone, is just sit there with my finger and just...
The little icon was there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, funny. There was nothing on the back. The BlackBerry, it was just a flat...
Oh, yes. I apologize, yes.
Yeah. And I would just sit there and do this, and then one day someone's like, what's on the back of your phone? And I'm like, and they're like, oh my God, you got a problem. I'm like, but now it's AirPods. I don't even hold my phone up to my ears anymore. I just wear my AirPods and talk.
I don't even have AirPods. You're cooler than me.
I had to get them. Thank you again for the time.
Oh, of course. Thank you, Toad. You get to me like the bee in a honky tonk. You make me wild, ain't no way around her. I know it's